Fourth of July, which was in the middle of the week, and we weren't doing anything anyhow, and she was perfectly welcome to come with me, but that I shouldn't go home on the Fourth of July and paint my mother and stepfather's front porch, which is his age he couldn't do. And when it got to that much domination, I said, "Amen, goodbye."
Why do you think she was like that?
Because she later became a recluse. I think the psychiatric problems got to her, and I don't mean this nastily or harshly, but she came to such a recluse that one time when I had to see her, she lived in Hamburg, about, and this was 5-6 years ago, I had to see her because of some property settlement. And she didn't answer the doorbell, and one of the neighbors said that if her car is home, she's home, but you'll not get her to answer the doorbell. She won't even answer the mailman. And I have tried. I have written a letter and said, "Look, can't we be friends? I would like to see you," because I would like to help her get over this bit. And she won't see anybody. In fact,
does
she won't
work?
Even, no. She took early retirement because she worked for the state. In fact, her own sister I talked to, and Betty said that we can't even get her to settle mom and dad's estate. Her mother and father have been dead about 12 years. Said she will not have anything to do with me or the lawyer or anybody else. I mean, she's got to be a mental case, which is sad because she was a brilliant, brilliant person.
Isn't that something? It really is a crime when you see that happen.
Yes, it is, and I would do anything to help her pull out of it because she has so much to give to others as well as herself.
Had she been with women before she was with
yes.
you?
Yes.
She had. Mm. And did she have a relationship after you?
Supposedly. But I really couldn't say that anything with any proof of it.
So what
I have heard rumors.
You've heard rumors, mm. Okay. So what happened that you two were, you'd been together how many years?
13 years.
13 years, from 40?
40, the end of 44. Well, at the end of, 46, the end of 46.
46
till around 54. 11 years. But it's just that I would not be dominated to the point where that I couldn't make any move unless it met with their approval, and I don't buy that. Because I'm still a human being and an individual and the right to think.
In this relationship, was she kind of the more feminine, or
yes,
she was.
Yeah.
And she just would keep dominating what you could do,
mm-hmm.
and
where I could go, and who I could see, and who I could talk to, and I didn't go for that.
Mm-hmm. Was she jealous?
Very.
But was she jealous of you sexually, or just jealous of your time?
Of my time. Right. How could she be jealous of going home and painting my mother and father's front porch on a Wednesday?
So what happened? You just one day said that it wasn't good for you two to be together?
No. I said amen, goodbye. I've had it. Because she had me to the point of nervous exhaustion, of trembling, of not sleeping nice, of... I was afraid of going into a mental spin because of all the aggravation.
Mm.
And that's when I said, this is no good.
Did that just happen towards the end of the relationship, or had it begun to happen earlier and you just put up with it?
Near the end, I think. Or maybe I just recognized it near the end.
Did you all have close friends
mm-hmm.
together, and what did they say? Did you talk to them about it? Or?
Well, they thought some of the things she was doing was not very good.
So let's say when you split up way back then in the 50s, did the friends support you? Did they support her? Or did some support her? Or did they try to support
me.
Both of you? They
me.
Supported
because
you?
She refused to see any of them. They tried to be a friend to her, and she would refuse, either the girls or the boys. She just pulled away from everything. Hmm. Which is too bad because people need people.
Was that scary for you when that happened? Or you just were glad to get out?
I'm starting glad to get out. As I said, I was beginning to doubt my own sanity. You know, a person can wear you down to a point. But you don't know if you're coming or going, or you don't know what is right or what isn't. You lose your perspective. And that's not good. And I realized I was losing my perspective on life and on people and other things.
Did this male friend of yours take you to Carol's Carousel before you broke up or after you broke up? After you broke up. And I bet it was a relief to go out, right?
Uh-huh.
I bet.
I forgot, did you and Susan live in the same house that you and Harriet lived in, or? Where did Susan get in?
I'm sorry, what's this woman's name?
Charlotte.
Sorry, I thought her name was Susan.
No, that's all right.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
All right, Charlotte.
I don't think I had even mentioned it before. I'm not sure that I did.
Oh, sorry. I thought
no,
you
don't worry about it.
Anyhow, this woman, Charlotte, it's not important to me the name, just this person.
All right.
Did you all live in the same house as you and Harriet, or a different house?
Well, we lived in a different house, and then we ended up in the same apartment house, but a different apartment.
I see.
Because I knew the owner.
Oh, right. I remember
well.
You told me that. Uh-huh. And you all didn't own anything together. Well, you must.
Yes, we did. We owned a cottage. I bought some land at a tax foreclosure sale and put the deed in both of our names as a loving gesture. And my mother said, you're going to rue the day you shouldn't do that. And I did rue it. Because I built the dollhouse, which is a little cottage. Because it was halfway between Buffalo and Gwanda where she worked. And I all told, and I had kept track of it, she didn't put more than $300 in it. And she lived in it much longer than I did, because after we broke up, she kept going out there. And I wouldn't go out there while she was there.
Mm-hmm.
So she certainly had more than her $400, but she would not. Even if I paid her that $400, she wasn't going to sign the deed back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the neighbor next door, his son-in-law was a lawyer, and he wanted the property, and I wanted out. And it was done quite legally, but she did, through him, sign finally.
And that was the only property you owned?
Well, then I had had a set of sterling silver that two of the boys who were in business gave me, a place setting each Christmas and each birthday, which I had my place setting of 12, and everything that goes with it, you know, the gravy spoons, the iced teaspoons, the parfait spoon, you name it.
Everything.
And she insisted she was going to keep it, so I told Joe, and Joe said, well, I'll go out with you and I'll get it. But she wasn't going to give me my sterling silver, and it was a present to me. She just wasn't going to part with it.
Well, that means you walked out, you left, and so she had everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't care everything. She could have everything but the sterling silver in my records.
And did you get your sterling silver in your records?
Joe and I went. Joe went out with me, and he said, no, you know I gave that to Joe, George and I gave that to Dorothy. That was her Christmas and birthday presents. You've had your Christmas and birthday presents.
Mm-hmm.
And so she reluctantly parted with it. That's the only way I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she lived in George's apartment house and then refused to pay the rent for long periods. And she was earning very good money at that point. There's no reason why she couldn't pay the rent. She just decided she was going to live there for free.
Was she drinking or was she just crazy?
No, she had just mentally ill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And other people, as well as I, tried to get to her. I mean, I tried after I got over the first indignation, and as I said, she wouldn't have anybody.
It's just the cat.
I know, I see it. So I just one of those things, and it's too bad because she was a brilliant, brilliant genius woman.
When you look back on that relationship, do you look back with sadness or kind of philosophically that sometimes you get into something and it's good and then it turns, or how do you think about it?
I look back on it with sadness because it's sad to see anybody with that fine of mind get herself so mixed up and distorted and depressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And become a recluse. That even your neighbors won't have any, you can't, the neighbors can't even get to you. And she lived there, what, 12 years. And the man that I was asking, you know, I asked if she was home, he just shrugged his shoulders. He said, you'll not get in there. He was disgusted. I mean, apparently they had tried to be friends, and she would ignore them. Which is too bad. To me, it's a very sad thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just as one human being to another, I would do something for her if I could. But she won't let you.
But when you look back about the time you two had together, do you look back kind of wondering about, well, I know, what are your thoughts about it? That what, was it good while it lasted and then it turned towards the end, or how do you think about it when you think about it?
Well, it was a selfish relationship on her part. Everything had to be her way. One other day, because you're less than.
That's how you're looking at it. That's funny.
As sad as I am about what happened to her.
But you also know that in terms of what happened to you, you should have taken care of yourself sooner. Mm-hmm. Well, I remember I asked you about sexuality when you were with Harriet. What about here? Was the sexual part of the relationship good for how long?
And then it was only good her way.
It was only good her way. What does that mean?
Meaning she loved to be loved, but would not love in return.
Is that right?
Yeah. She enjoyed sex very much.
But she wanted you to perform. Is that it?
So. Exactly. And 13 years is a long time.
To perform.
But out of return, yes, it's a long time.
Yeah, I can see that. Whew. Huh. So what did you think about that? Because that hadn't been true of your relationship with Harriet at all, right?
No.
So what did you think about that?
Well, I loved the girl very deeply and would have done anything to make her happy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a very intense person when I love. It's everything and nothing, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah, I know what you mean. Huh.
And I still haven't learned.
That's it's interesting. What was her feelings about it? Was she just feeling that she didn't get pleasure from making love to another woman, or that she...
Actually, I don't know. I don't remember.
You will never discuss it?
I don't remember if we ever discussed it. I really couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. That's been many years ago.
Right, it is. This is so it's good enough for me when you say you don't remember. Was she always more feminine dressed?
Mm-hmm.
And did you, as you look back onto it, was that a relationship where you were more into roles, but you didn't go out to the bars so people wouldn't know?
No, because I dressed more at that point too. She would not. Didn't want to be seen with anybody that looked at all gay or looked at all lesbian.
So you would be more feminine looking too. But what about in the house? Did she wear more feminine clothes and you more masculine clothes, or you don't?
No, she wears slacks sometimes.
She wears slacks,
but not out socially.
What about housework and stuff? Did she do more feminine things?
Well, she was doing a lot of. She was doing a thesis for her master's, number one. So I did 99% of the housework. And I also managed this apartment house, which was for George, which was furnished apartments, which meant we got our apartment cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I collected the rents, and granted, you know, it was an apartment house, furnished apartments, and I took care of anything that had to be done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see, we're talking about the late 40s and early 50s. How did you meet this woman?
Through some mutual friends.
At a party?
Mm-hmm.
And how'd you court her?
She courted me.
She courted you?
Bronchitis, and she used to come up every day.
Oh, yeah. So you were in bed with bronchitis, and you were single, right?
No. Harriet and I were living together, but Harriet was going out, and so I had said to Harriet, look, if ever I find anybody that I happen to be interested in, I'm going to go with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because Harriet at this point couldn't decide if she was straight or gay.
Right, right.
In fact, it was the year after that she got married.
Uh-huh. So she was seeing some men sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how could you two be so calm in discussing this? Didn't that break your heart a little bit?
Mm-hmm. I almost committed suicide once. Then I thought, you darn fool, it's not worth it.
You mean over Harriet?
Mm-hmm.
But
I was heartbroken because nobody would ever love me again.
Uh-huh. Even though you were seeing some people.
No, to this point I hadn't been.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it was just because she was seeing another woman, or was she seeing other men?
Both.
Both. And you just felt it was the end. And how did you get over that crisis?
By going out. Seeing other people.
Friends?
Mm-hmm. Friends, and then start going to Charlotte.
Did you think about going to see a psychiatrist or a therapist when you thought of suicide, or that wasn't something people did then?
No, it wasn't generally done then, although I had taken Harry to a psychiatrist because at one point she was having some mental problems, and I took her to Jenny Klein, who was one of the gals who, I think Jenny Klein is dead now. She and Her friend, the doctor, had their offices in Fillmore and Main Street for many, many years, and the two of them were gay and lived together and had been together all of their lives.
She also worked at a hospital?
Jenny Klein? Yeah, she worked at Meyer.
I
and Walker her, was her girlfriend.
I read her obituary last
year. Yeah.
And I wondered if she was gay.
Yeah. And at one point, Harriet was having mental problems, and so I said, well, why don't we take you to a psychiatrist? So I knew about psychiatry at that point.
Uh-huh. How did you know about Jenny Klein and that she was a lesbian? Or didn't you?
One of the, I think it was Skip told me about it.
Skip told
you? Yeah.
And did people go see her because they knew she was a lesbian and would be helpful to lesbians?
Well, this is why I took care of her, because I figured she could understand the situation and I could talk to her if I had to.
And what did she understand the situation?
Very well.
She did? Well, that's good.
Oh, she was quite a gal.
It's something, I read her obituary last year and I said to myself, I wonder if this
was. Oh, she was, and she was a real marvelous person, and so was Dr. Walker, her girlfriend, who specialized in tuberculosis. Of course, that was before they had the medication that TB wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always had a lot of bronchitis and pneumonia, and so I went to her for that.
Uh-huh. Is her girlfriend alive still, do you know?
I think she died before Jenny. Mm-hmm.
Oh. How old? I think Klein was old when
she
died.
Oh, yes, yes. Because in the 40s, she was... I would say she was only about 50 then.
Right. I remember she was quite elderly when I read the obituary. I just had the feeling from the way the obituary read that she was a lesbian.
And while she didn't brag about it, I don't think she made any bones about it.
And did you know other lesbians who went to her?
No. No, but Skip recommended her. So Skip and her field knew about her.
Uh-huh. And did Harriet, this was when Harriet was in a crisis over whether she was a lesbian or not?
No, it was when she was in a crisis over she was a hypochondriac, and incidentally was all the rest of her life. And started to die 2 weeks ago on a Monday. I got a call from Mary at the Coast, and one of our friends here says she's still going to outlive all of us. And she's, at 2 weeks ago Monday, Mary said, would you please come out? Harry's dying. She's in intensive care. And the doctor said her heart's worn out and she's not going to live. Normally, I'd have gotten on the next plane, but something said, now wait, just wait a minute.
My friend died.
She's still living.
She's still living.
I don't mean that to be nasty.
I know what you mean.
I'm glad she's living. But as Esther said, she said she's done this so many times that she's been at death's door.
Uh-huh.
In fact, at one point when we went together, she was having a heart attack. And I got the doctor, and she said, there's nothing wrong with her heart. Her heart's perfectly sound and good. There's nothing wrong with it. Oh, there it is. Having a heart attack.
Okay, so where were we? Okay, so Charlotte was coming up and taking care of you while you had bronchitis, right?
That's how we started going together.
Uh-huh. And she would just keep coming up and taking care of you, huh?
Well, because her job was such, she had to visit patients, and she had a certain amount of, we might say, house calls to make. She'd be in the field some of the time, and at the hospital some of the time, she's in the field, she'd stop up and see me.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened?
Well, we started going together.
How did it get initiated after she courted you? Like, did you send her flowers? Did you send her candy?
I don't remember. Remember, you talked so many years ago.
I know. I'm just finding out whether you can remember.
Charlotte lived at home.
Oh, yeah.
So we would spend some weekends at her house and some weekends at my house. We'd spend some holidays at her house and some holidays at my house. That's where we got the place. That's why I built the cottage, which I built from the ground up and wired.
Where did she live at home? In
what? South Buffalo.
South Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you spent weekends at her place, it was with her family?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I got along very well with Mom Murphy and Pop.
Did they know you two were sleeping together?
Well, yes, they knew we were sleeping together. We were in the same bedroom. The same thing in my house, we were in the same bedroom.
With your mother?
My mother, my stepfather, and my grandfather.
So you moved out from the place you lived with Harriet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you went...
I went back home.
Home, and sometimes it would be at your house and something.
And then we got an apartment.
So your parents just thought you were good friends? Is that what they thought?
Apparently.
apparently.
I don't know. Mother and I never discussed it. Other than one time during the war, she said, I haven't seen you in a dress. Of course, this is when you wore slacks to work. I was, you know, doing war work. Mm. And I was on, well, I worked different shifts. And so one day she said, I haven't seen you in a dress in over a year. When are you ever going to put a dress in? And she said, by the way, I'll never forget this. We were driving down River Road. And this is the only time it was discussed. She said, you have some mighty strange friends. Because she knew Ruth, the one I told you, so butchy, and she knew some of the kids I worked with and stuff. Some of the lesbians were friends. And she said, you have some mighty strange friends. She says, people are going to think that you're like that if you're not careful. And I was very tempted to say, but I am. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, no, discretion's a better part of valor. And I said, well, they're my friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I know my mother, and I know that while she might have had her ideas, it would have upset her dreadfully to talk and lay it out on the table.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was easier to do it the other way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with each new girlfriend, she would welcome them and be very nice to me. So I know she knows, because she had been in the business world until I was 22 when she remarried, and she had been in the business world. She was a buyer, and my mother was not unintelligent. But she never discussed it.
So you and Charlotte would go back and forth to each other's houses during the weeks. During the week you wouldn't see one.
Yeah, we'd date. We'd go out for dinner, go to shows,
uh-huh.
go to theater.
And then on the weekend you'd sleep. Wouldn't you have to be quiet in bed in your parents' houses?
Oh, certainly.
Very quiet.
Yes.
And then how long did this go before you got your own apartment? Or you never did? You built the cottage?
No, we got our own apartment.
You did?
Yeah, that's when we lived in Winsenica. And I said there, I managed the apartment.
Oh, right. You
and
said
lived that. In George's apartment. That was his house. But he had started going with Joe, and they had their own house. I had a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. And then, so you all never went to bars, and you would go for just shows and theater, and you'd have house
and
parties and dinner
yeah.
parties. And
mm-hmm.
Did you play cards?
No.
She didn't play cards?
No.
Mm. Did you read things together?
Yes, and I'd help her work on her cases.
Uh-huh. Did you ever read things like Radcliffe Hall and stuff like that together?
No, I had read Radcliffe Hall.
You had read that. What about Bebo Brinker? Did you ever read
no.
things like that?
Uh-uh.
Did you ever read Bebo Brinker?
No.
That's a set of series by a woman named Ann Bannon that was written in the 50s.
I know, you've talked about Ann Bannon and Ann Aldridge.
Right, all those people. That's right, I did. We did. Okay, let's see. Can you think of anything else that was important happening in lesbians' lives at this period that you were with Charlotte that I might have forgotten?
Uh-uh. No. No, I can't really.
Okay. You know, in the paper you read, we talked about street dykes coming in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Like, do you remember seeing street dykes?
I don't know.
You don't remember seeing street dykes before?
No, what do you mean street dykes meaning?
People who were really rough looking and,
no.
and you don't remember them before the 50s.
No.
Do you remember the first one
any.
You saw?
One of them I think could have been classified as that, who was a bartender and bouncer at Carol's, but we were good friends and so.
So you never thought of it that way?
Never thought of it that way.
Oh, okay.
But boy, she could bounce anybody out in the rear out of that place faster than anybody you know. In fact, when she had TV, I'd gone out to Perrysburg to see her.
Uh-huh.
That was before she was a bartender and before she did Carol's. No, I never particularly got in with the rough, tough
crowd,
battle-swinging, bat-swinging bunch. Mm-hmm. I'm a nonviolent person.
A nonviolent. Is that out of philosophy or emotion or...?
Well, I don't think there's anything to be gained by batting people around. Intelligent people should be able to sit and talk out a problem.
Uh-huh.
Not beat each other up. But some people had to express, some of the kids had to express their masculinity and their superiority by seeing who they could beat up, apparently. But I never saw that much of it. As I said, I only saw two fights at Carol's.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what those fights were over?
No. Nope. All I know is they were fighting, and boy, I was...
You were gone, huh?
You just saw the back of my heels.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want any part of anything like that. What happened after I left, I don't even remember.
Well, I think we kind of covered this. In Carol's, again, we talked about the 40s, but in the 50s in Carol's Carousel, is it true that most couples look like they were in butch and femme roles, or isn't it true that most couples look like that? Because, like, we interviewed a lot of people who said they never knew about roles until you went to the bars. And then as soon as you went to the bars, people would say to you, either a butch or femme.
Well, some of the same crowd that went down to Martin's went up to Carol's.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, the role playing they played down there, they played in a lesser extent at Carol's. As I remember it, they weren't quite as butchy and not the butch knight's procedures and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think they weren't as aggressive and as butchy and as I'm going to let the world sort of thing.
So after you left Charlotte, you were single for how long?
Oh, I had a couple of affairs in between.
And where did you meet these women?
At Carol's.
At Carol's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I started going in 56. I started going with Seal, who I worked with and was a great big butch.
A great big butch?
Not really. Once she got dressed, she wore spike heels, which I hated spike heels. I only, like 3-inch heels. I had some interim affairs in the meantime, and in fact, one of them is calling me up right now. Now that she knows I'm not going with anybody, trying to get back together again, and I just don't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I can't stand the way she eats.
What does she eat like?
Do you really want to have your stomach turned? We went to the Wurzburger Hof about five, six weeks ago on a Friday night for fish fry. And she didn't like fish, but she would make a big deal and eat some. I had shrimp. So the fish was about yay long. Well, I finished in the ordinary time it takes a person to eat, my potatoes and my salad and my fish, my shrimp and so on. And I looked over all of a sudden, I said, Rose, what are you doing? Well, she said, this is a piece of fat. And she'd take something out of her mouth before it. She said, it's a piece of fat. You want to eat fat, do you? And I thought, fat on fish? Well, yeah, I'll let it go. And then I looked over again, and she was taking out some more. And this is what she would do. She would take a bite, eat the white meat, chew the skin, and put it on her plate till she had a pile, I kid you not, that high of food that had been in her mouth and chewed and banged out. And I was getting sicker by the minute. Then she's taking everything out of her teeth. That did it. So we went home, and we were sitting there talking. This is the first time I'd seen her in a long time. And I had served some cake, some coconut cake, and some coffee. And she promptly proceeded to clean her teeth again. Well, that did it.
Finally, and that was the final story.
So she went to Vegas, and she just got back 2 days ago. And the day after she got back, she's calling me. We talked a bit about Vegas and how she liked it and one thing and another. Well, she said, do you suppose we can go out sometime? I said, yeah, sometime, but boy, it's going to be a long sometime. I'm sorry, but that sort of thing nauseates me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why take the food in your mouth, chew it up, and then put it back on your plate and have a pile? I was embarrassed, honestly. And it took her an hour to do this.
So when did you get into your next relationship? Is Seal your next relationship?
No. Rose was a few bits in there. We went together over, 5 months.
And then Seal?
No, and then Lois.
Lois. How old was Lois?
2 months.
Uh-huh. And then?
And then Seal.
And how long was that?
10 years.
Ah.
Probably 56 to 68.
Okay.
Now, this was the point where I was drinking a lot.
When you were with Seal?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Because I was working 18 hours a day, because we had a business.
Together?
And I worked at Trico, and we had the business. And she worked their days, and I would go there at night, and two of us would do what had to be done.
What was your business?
Laundromat and dry cleaning. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, I would rebuild the machine, and I did all the bookkeeping and all the bill paying, and so I would be working 7 days a week, 18 hours a week. No way. I kept going was from the strength of having a few drinks.
Why were you working so?
Because my stepfather was sick at that time, and the medical expenses were mounting up, and although I earned a good pay, I needed more money. And Steele at that point had been laid off, and I figured that, you know, she could earn a living, and I could earn something.
What did she be? You'd met her at Trico, right?
Yeah.
You didn't meet her at Carol's. You met her at Trico?
Well, she worked at Trico, but one night when I went into Carol's, she was there, and that's how it started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's go back. Laura and Rose, like, you met them at the carousel, right?
Yeah.
And
no, I met Rose at the Carol's, because she knew some of the same people I did.
And Laura, how'd you meet her?
Through Rose.
Through Rose? Uh-huh.
One night over at Rose's house.
So did you all just court one another, or how did things go in the 50s when you were courting one another?
Well, I don't think it's that much of a matter of courting. You just decided to go together and you went together. You had a sex drive, a sexual attraction. And you liked some of the same things. Mm-hmm. But of course, with Lois, I couldn't stand the rock and roll music.
Oh, Lois, I'm sorry. I called her Laura.
Yes, I know.
You know, Lois, okay, and Rose.
I believe that.